Chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to consider joy tonight. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14 will be our text. Luke 2, verse 8. Not long until Christmas, so I'm always happy to look at the scriptures around the birth of our Savior. And of course, you're familiar with Luke chapter 2. Christ is born, and the Bible says in verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I'd like to just focus your attention tonight on verse 10. The angel said to the shepherds, fear not, don't be afraid, because I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We live in a world that is very sad. Amen. We live in a country that is overrun with discouragement, depression. And listen, it's dark days that we live in. Amen. A lot of godly people, a lot of Christians are very discouraged and dismayed by the world around us today. How can we have abiding joy when we live in a world that's filled with sin, sorrow, and death? How can we have joy and walk in the joy of Christ? How can we live that way? How can we share that joy with others? And I just want to look with you tonight about what is joy. What is joy? Now, a lot of people confuse joy and happiness. Happiness is directly related to our circumstances. Happiness has to do with our happenstances. And yes, it's a real word. I checked to make sure. Happenstance. The root of happiness or being happy and happenstance is the same thing. The word, the root hap means it has the idea of chance or fortune. And it has to do with your circumstances and whatever happens to be going on in your life at the time. That's what happiness is. And there's a lot of things that make us happy. Amen? All right, let's see a show of hands. How many of you get happy when you get some chocolate? Chocolate make you happy? Yeah. And then when the chocolate is gone, you're sad. See? Happiness. How many of you like Little Debbie Christmas trees? See your hands? God bless you. You're my people. Make you happy? But don't be sad when they go away, because they just make the same thing for a different season. God bless Little Debbie. Love that girl. Right? Make you happy. Listen, there are a lot of things that can make us happy. I'm amazed. It doesn't take much for some of you. You get your coffee in the morning and you're happy. You don't get your coffee in the morning and nobody wants to be around you. Circumstances make us happy. Happiness depends entirely on our circumstances. When you're sick, you're not happy. When you're healthy, if you're smart, you'll be happy. Joy, on the other hand, has nothing to do with your circumstances, at least biblical joy. Now, don't get me wrong. Joy can be enhanced by your circumstances, but it can't be diminished by your circumstances. Biblical joy is cheerfulness. It's a calm delight that happens regardless of our circumstances. And so I want to try to walk through just some theology of joy with you tonight. Number one, joy is a gift from God. Joy comes from the Lord. Psalm 4 and verse 7 says, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So joy is something that comes from God. And here's the awesome thing. Our God is everywhere all the time. Amen. In all times. And so it doesn't impact our circumstances, no matter where you go, no matter when you go, God is there, and therefore our joy can always be because we can always be in his presence. Joy is a gift from God. Number two, joy can only come through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, joy comes from God, but the way to know God, the way into the presence of God, is only through Jesus. We know that, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. So the only way to get to God, to be in his presence, is through faith in Jesus. Look at this verse, Romans 15:13. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. He says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that a great verse? A really good verse. Something that'd be good to put on the wall all year. Something you can't see around the screen. Listen, hope comes from God, and it's through faith, but in believing, God can fill us with all joy and peace. Where does it come from? From believing. Now, what kind of belief? We know the devils believe in God and tremble. That's not the kind of belief we're talking about. It's not knowing that there is a God or knowing that there was a man named Jesus who was killed by the Romans. No, we're talking about trusting in him as your Savior. We're talking about believing that he died and rose again for your sins. We're talking about a personal faith, a saving faith in Jesus. That's where joy comes from. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. When you believe in the Savior, who you have not seen with these eyes, but you trust by faith in his word, that's where joy comes from. Amen. If you lack joy, then you need to trust in him. Joy is a gift from God. Joy can only come through faith in Christ. Number three, joy comes through the Holy Spirit. It comes by faith in Christ through the Spirit of God. In Acts 13:52, the Bible says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. When they saw the power of God, the work of God, the preaching of the gospel, souls being saved, the work of God happening, they were filled with both joy and the Spirit of God. Romans 14 and verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. It's not in the physical things, but it's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, when Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he writes to the believers and the saints. He says, ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, the church at Thessalonica had all kinds of persecution going on, but when they heard the word of God, they believed that it was the word of God, not the word of men. Therefore, they trusted in Christ, and they began to follow not just the missionary, the apostle, but they started to follow the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and they took on that faith in the middle of a lot of affliction, but with joy of the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? Their circumstances didn't matter because the word of God through the Spirit of God had gotten into them. Therefore, they had the joy of the Holy Ghost, the joy of God. Joy comes by faith in Christ through the Holy Spirit of God. And we understand that it is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. I told you this before, but there was a young man who wanted to witness to everybody in his school. And I think that's awesome. And so he was trying to think of a way to do that. He prayed about it and he came up with a solution. He did a survey where he went around to everybody in his high school and he asked them what three things they wanted most in life. And not everybody, but almost everybody basically said they wanted the same things. They wanted to be happy, They wanted to have love in their life. They wanted to have peace in their family and in their home. And so he took them to Galatians 5:22. And he showed them the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. See it? So he went around to everybody in high school. What do you want? Well, I want to find love. I want to have peace in my life and family. You know, I want to have peace in the world, and I want to be happy. He took them to this verse, and he said, if you want to have love, joy, and peace, that comes from the Spirit of God, and you get the Spirit of God by trusting in Jesus. And so he's able to preach the gospel to everybody in his school because of this, because the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. It comes through the Spirit of God. As it comes through the Spirit of God, it also comes through the Word of God. Joy comes through the Word of God. John 15:11. John 15:11. A lot of you are familiar with John 15. This is the true vine. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he talks about abiding in him. And in verse 11, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, I like that. I want to have the joy of Jesus in me, and I want that joy to be full. How about you? Say, like, nah, I'm all right. I don't want to be too happy. I don't want to have too much joy. I like to have a little bit of other stuff, too. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be full of joy. I want the joy of Jesus to remain in me, to abide in me, to stay in me. And I want that for you, too. And Jesus, more importantly, wants that for his disciples. He wants his joy to be full. He wants his joy to remain. He wants it to stay. And notice how it comes. These things have I spoken unto you that, or in order that, or so that you can have joy. See that? It comes not just from the Spirit of God. It comes from the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to take the time tonight to show the parallel again. We've looked at it so many times. But if you'll notice, there's a parallel in Ephesians when he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And in Colossians when he says to be filled with the Word, to let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And those are parallel passages. And when Paul writes to Ephesus, he talks about the Spirit. When he writes to Colossae, he talks about the Word of God. And I'm just telling you that if you want to be filled with the Spirit and filled with joy, it's going to come from the Spirit and from the Scriptures. It's going to be the Word of God. So it comes through the Spirit of God, and it comes through the Word of God. And you say, well, I'm not really happy. I don't have any joy, and my joy doesn't stay with me, and I'm up and down. I don't know about you guys, but my life a lot of times is like an emotional roller coaster. Sometimes I'm up, and sometimes I'm down. And my circumstances impact my spirit so much. And I'm just telling you that if we're yielded to God, so we're filled with the Spirit, and we're filling our hearts and minds with the Word of God, we're meditating on the Word of God constantly, that it will help us to stay right here in the joy of the Lord. Storms come, I'm right here. Things are good, I'm right here. Things are bad, I'm right here. God will even you out. And it doesn't mean that there's never sorrow. It doesn't mean that there's never pain. It doesn't mean that there's never trouble. It just means that you have this calm delight that holds up your soul no matter what's going on around you. Everybody with me? See, I want to paint this picture that we all ought to rock around like big, with big stupid grins on our face all the time. Everything's great. Everything's fine. Everything's just fine. I'm not saying that. I wish you would have laughed more. I worked really hard on that fake smile. Come on. Some of you might remember years ago, there was a guy on a commercial. He's riding around in front of a beautiful home. They got a nice cars, and he's riding around on his lawnmower, and he's grinning, this huge, stupid, cheesy grin. And he said, somebody help me. We're drowning in debt. Remember that one? Up to my eyeballs in debt. I think about that guy sometimes. Like I'm not saying we need to be that guy. Like, everything's fine when it's not fine. Jesus wept. Amen. Jesus was moved with compassion on the lost. Jesus, his emotions moved. I'm just saying that through it all, I promise you, he had joy. Amen. And I'm just trying to say, it doesn't mean we'll never be sad. Doesn't mean we'll never be angry. Doesn't mean we'll never be upset. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that through it all, there's still a calm delight that exists right here. It's an anchor to our soul. That's the joy of the Lord I'm talking about. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what I'm talking about. That I, listen, things are not good right now. Things are kind of bad right now, but God is with me, and I'm going to be with him forever. Amen. It comes from the Word of God. Joy is ours now by knowing the gospel and entering into the kingdom. Check this out. Matthew 13:44. Matthew 13:44. Jesus is going through all kinds of parables, trying to give us an understanding of what the kingdom is. And in Matthew 13:44, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Jesus is saying, let me give you this picture of the kingdom. When you find it through the gospel, nothing else matters. It's everything. When you find Jesus and you know him and enter in his kingdom and have forgiveness of sin and eternal life, everything else goes away, and this is the most important thing in the universe to you, and you have great joy to let go of everything else and hold on to Jesus. Amen. Joy is ours now because we have entered into the kingdom. Amen. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. You remember the disciples had gone out preaching the gospel, and they came back and they were so excited because even the devils were subject unto them. And I got to say, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, you go into town and somebody's a maniac and you're like, in the name of Jesus, get out of that man. And the devils run away, and that would be cool. I mean, that God would use you to help people be clothed and in their right mind. I would love that ability when I go to Walmart. Some of y'all ain't been to Walmart in a minute, so you don't know, but take my word for it. But Jesus says in verse 20, Luke 10:20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. By the way, as a side note, that tells me that joy can be misplaced. Our joy can be misplaced. So don't rejoice in because you get to tell the devils what to do. Rather rejoice because your names are presently written. In that moment, your name is written in heaven. Amen. And if you've trusted Christ, your Savior, your name is presently written in heaven, and you ought to rejoice. Amen. But Brother Isaac, you don't know what's going on in my family. Your name is written in heaven. Amen. But you don't understand the diagnosis the doctor gave me. Your name is written in heaven. Amen. You don't understand the pain and sorrow that I feel, but your name is written in heaven. You don't understand the financial, your name is written in heaven. Amen. Joy is ours now because we know the gospel and we've entered into the kingdom. But joy is ours forever because we will be in his glorious presence forever. Matthew 25, verse 21. Jesus is giving the parable of the faithful and unfaithful servant. In Matthew 25:21, he says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Amen. And again, he would tell the other servant in verse 23, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And listen to me. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, your name is written in heaven now, and one day you will cross over into a place where you will be in the presence and of God and enjoy his presence forever. One day you'll cross over into a place that Jesus describes as the joy of the Lord. And what did the psalmist say? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you get it? Knowing him and knowing you'll be with him forever, knowing that one day you'll be in his glorious presence forever, that is your strength. Amen. Today. That's joy. Joy is a gift from God. It only comes by faith in Christ. It comes through the Holy Spirit. It comes through the Word of God. It's ours now and ours forever. And joy spreads with faith in the gospel. You remember in Luke chapter 15, Jesus talks about lost things. He talks about the lost sheep, he talks about the lost silver, and he talks about the lost son. We usually talk about him as the prodigal. You guys all remember that? Okay, nod your heads if you're with me. All right. So the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son. That's John. That's Luke chapter 15. In verse 7, he said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And down in verse 10, he says again, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And later on, the father would tell the older son who was bitter about what the father had done for the younger son when he came home, he would say, it was good for us to rejoice. Because your brother was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. And it ought to be that when the angels are rejoicing in heaven, when a sinner repents, that we would rejoice too. Amen. We're going to have great joy. I got to tell you, sometimes when we have the announcement that somebody got saved, it's like pulling teeth for an amen around here. Amen. I mean, the angels are singing, and we're just like, amen. It's ridiculous. Lord, help us. We have a passion. And can I just, listen, this might sting a little bit, but sometimes we need to be stung. Maybe we're not as excited when somebody gets saved because we haven't been praying for them to be saved. Maybe we're not rejoicing when they're born again because we haven't been preaching the gospel to them so that they could be born again. Maybe we act like we don't care when someone gets saved because we really don't care by the way we live our lives. And I'm telling you, we ought to wake up. Because there's all kinds of people out there who are dying and marching on their way to hell, and heaven rejoices when one of them gets saved. Why don't we? Would to God we could have a heart like the apostle, like the missionaries. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, he says, for what is our hope? Or joy, or crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. See, here's what I think. I think that you and I, as good American Christians, we're far more concerned about our own happiness than we are really anything else. Now listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm standing up here and I think I'm guilty. This is a confession. But as your pastor, I think you're guilty too. Amen. I mean, just face the facts. We all want to be comfortable. Amen. When we're tired, we want to go to bed. And when we're hungry, we want to eat. And when we want to eat, we don't want to just eat anything. We want to eat something good. Amen. And when you're thirsty, you could drink water, but why wouldn't you drink sweet tea? I'm just saying that we're so concerned with our own happiness. And listen, I get it. God has given us richly all things to enjoy, and we ought to take those things and give thanks. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm just saying that I think sometimes we're so concerned about our own happiness that we forget about the things of eternity. And Paul said, I'm willing to spend and be spent for you to know Christ. And he said, my joy is you. Amen. Before him forever. Man, I get so excited. A few weeks ago, Brother Tom texted me and told me they got to share the gospel with somebody at work, and I just rejoice in that. Amen. I don't know if that man is saved or if he will be saved, but what a privilege to get to talk to someone about Christ. Amen. And the opportunities abound. Amen. By the way, if you get an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, please let me know. Because I want to rejoice. You say, well, they didn't get saved, or I don't know if they got saved. Listen, our goal is to preach the gospel. Amen. And when they're born again, we'll rejoice with the angels. Joy spreads with faith in the gospel. And lastly, can I say, joy continues by walking in obedience. There's no one more miserable on planet Earth than a disobedient Christian. James 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And we studied this just a couple of weeks ago, but let me just say again, when temptations and trials and tribulations come, most of us just want to whine about it, but the Word of God says rejoice in it. Amen. Count it all joy. Rejoice, because God's at work. He's trying to grow you. Be happy. Amen. Walk in obedience. In 3 John, verse 4, the apostle says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Amen. Now listen, you can take that and say he's talking about his kids. Personally, I think he's talking about his spiritual children. I kind of like it to be both. My greatest joy, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. I want my kids to walk in truth. Amen. And I want your kids to walk in truth. Amen. And I want all of us to walk in truth. Amen. And if John could say, "I have no greater joy," can you imagine what Jesus says? Amen. When he looks down and sees us walking in obedience, what a joy. Will you look at Acts 20 with me, verse 22? Acts 20, 22. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or other than the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul is on his way to Jerusalem one last time. When he's there, he's going to get arrested, and it's going to start a long journey that's going to take years for him to finally get to Rome. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be set free. He's going to be arrested again. It's a long journey. There's going to be shipwrecks. There's going to be all kinds of sickness. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be danger. Like, it's this imprisonment, this long, long journey. And he doesn't know all that's going to happen. He just knows it's going to be bad. But he said, "I want to finish my course with joy. God has a path laid out for me. I want to walk that path, and I want to do it with joy." And you know what? When he comes to the end of it all, he says, "I have finished my course." He was able to finish with joy. And it didn't mean that his circumstances were great. As a matter of fact, his circumstances were terrible. Like, just let's just be real. Like, they went for 2 weeks without eating on the ship in the middle of the storm. I don't want to go 2 hours. And listen, you remember when they get on there and the fiery serpent comes out of the fire and latches onto his hand. You remember that? Like, I don't care if it didn't kill him. Most of us would die of a heart attack. Amen. I'm just saying, a snake jumps out of a fire and latches onto my hand, I'm probably going to die right there. Venom or no venom. All the things that he endured, and he did it with joy. Why? Because the circumstances were great? No. Because his name was written in heaven. And because he knew he was going to enter into the joy of his Lord. The angels that announced the Savior's birth said that they brought good tidings of great joy. I think Christmas ought to bring great joy to the world today. Why? Somebody posted this today. Some of you probably saw it. Because no Christmas, no cross. No birth of the Savior, no sacrificial death at Calvary. How can we remain joyful in the midst of sorrow and grief and sadness, tragedies, and just the general sadness and sinfulness of this life? One word: eternity. You can stay joyful in the middle of this world because of eternity. If we're walking in joy, we should spread joy. But no one can experience real and lasting joy apart from saving faith in Jesus. Now, some of you are confused, but let me ask you this. Have you ever been around those people who are just happy all the time and it gets on your nerves? Especially early in the morning. Anybody been around those people? When I was in high school and I was in band, because cool kids are in band. Thank you. We had to get up really early to go to band competitions, like 4 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, getting on the bus. And I loved to be the guy who was happy. And all of my friends hated me. I'm not talking about being annoyingly happy. But have you ever been around somebody who just had the joy of the Lord? That no matter what their circumstances were, they were just like a rock. They had this anchor in their soul that couldn't be moved. And even when things are bad, they just, even when they're sad, they've just got this joy. You've been around those people? That's not annoying. That's inspiring. Amen. Being around those people, you go, man, I want to be like that. And you can. Because Jesus wants you to have his joy. And he wants that joy to remain. But it only comes through saving faith in Jesus. This joy that the angels announced was because Christ was born. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Tonight I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and I want to have an opportunity to respond to the Word of God tonight. Will you stand with me, please? And while they're getting ready, will you pray with me? Merciful Father, I pray your Spirit has worked to teach us through the Scriptures tonight. I pray that if anyone hearing this message has never been born again, that even now your Spirit has convicted them, and that they would repent and believe the gospel, that they would trust in the finished work of Christ, who came to be our Savior, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, who was buried and rose again the third day for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that if we believe and call on your name, we can be granted eternal life, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. And Lord, those who are saved, I pray, if you've convicted our hearts tonight for anything, especially to have a heart for the lost, I pray you would help us to respond in faith and obedience, to repent, confess, and to be filled with your Spirit tonight, to go and be disciples, making disciples for your glory. Lord, if you're convicting any heart, help us to respond in faith and obedience, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 475.